Well, I would say Steve O'Neill and Luke Sewell.
Mm-hmm.
In my book.
All right. And right-handed pitcher.
Well, it's hard to get away from Walter Johnson.
Yeah, even though he didn't, he was sort of running out of steam when you arrived.
But yeah, but he could still throw hard.
Yeah.
He could still throw hard. He pitched the ball game against us in 1920 or 21, for land's sake, that Charlie Jamison led off with a three-base hit. And the next three fellas, a speaker and a good fastball hitter, and Bill Wambe, and Elmer Smith, a corking good fastball hitter, he struck them out with nine straight fastballs that they didn't even foul.
Gee,
now, nine balls, and he struck the three of them out. And that was a terrific game.
Yeah.
It wound up 1-0. Kovaleski pitched against them. And they got a three-base hit off of Kovaleski leading off. And he got out of the inning also.
Gee.
And after that, we scored a run, but they didn't. They wasn't able to score off of Kobe. I don't recall how we scored.
Now, when you came back to Cleveland in 36, who was the manager?
Steve O'Neill.
Yeah. Johnson Waller came over and managed later, I think, didn't
who?
He? Walter Johnson, didn't he manage Cleveland a little bit later on?
He managed Cleveland.
Yeah, it must have been in the... Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I think
might have been while you were in Detroit or something.
No.
Anyway.
Let me see. Did he manage while we was with Detroit? While I was with Detroit?
Might be.
Between
29 and 33. Who was the best left-handed pitcher in the league in your day?
Well, the whole thing is when you're picking pitchers or throwers is the whole thing.
Yeah.
And throwers would be Groves.
Yeah.
And pitchers would be Pinnock.
That's a good distinction.
Huh?
That's real good. You couldn't argue with that at all, George.
No.
All right. Now, what do you think about the artificial surfaces they play on these days?
Well, the infielders can play much deeper.
Yeah, but the balls go by them faster, too.
Yes, goes by them faster. Well, they got to learn to play the hitters better and play the ball pissed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Oh, I do know what
and you
mean.
Pitcher has to pitch accordingly and try and make him hit that way.
Yeah. The outfielder has to make a quick decision on whether he can take a chance on coming in to
that's right.
get to that ball before it bounces over his head.
Right. That's right. And it bounces over their head in the infield, too.
If a batter that chops one down on that hard surface.
Yeah.
He's got an automatic base hit if he can run at all.
Yeah.
It does let them play more games. That is, fewer games are rained out on the artificial surface.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's to the management's benefit more than the players.
Yeah.
How about night ball? Did you play any night ball at all?
Just... That was while I was with Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
You know, that... But I don't like it myself.
Yeah. Most of the old-timers say that.
I don't like it myself. It's, it's so much different. The pitchers have such a big edge at the different seasons of the year when it's not dark and it's not light.
That's the worst time.
And the lights are on, but they don't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the pitcher's got a terrific advantage for five, six, seven innings.
I agree.
Five, six, seven innings, they got a terrific advantage. Look at how many times you pick up the paper and read Did he pitch the no-hit game going into the seventh inning? Seventh or eighth inning before they got a hit off of him. And
I remember a game in Comiskey Park in the '50s, early '50s, I guess, and Bob Grove and Billy Pierce hooked up, just like you say. It wasn't yet dark, and they were striking him out hand over fist and went on. Finally, I think fellow won it by maybe 3-1, but it was quite a duel in the early innings.
Well, a good, you don't have much chance against real good fastball pitching, but you take a fellow like myself or a fellow like Herb Pinnock or Ted Lyons, we'd have a circus with them early in the ballgame, two throwing them, changing faces.
That's right.
You keep blowing outside with them trying to park everything.
Yeah.
And only give them a fastball under their chin once in a while against their fist.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. What are your feelings about free agency?
I don't know. I think it's a kind of a joke. It's a kind of a joke. They've spoiled everything. They've got more people raving about the millionaires that they're not that good of ball players. They don't care whether they go out to see a ball game anymore.
Yeah.
And yet, when they get in a pennant race and the race is fairly close, they go out just the same.
Yeah, that's right.
But I've got a customer here. He says, "The hell with them. I don't want no part of them. They think they're that great, and they're not."
No, they're not. They couldn't be. Nobody's worth that kind of money, and so many of these...
I don't want to see those millionaires, is the way he put it to me.
Well, so many of them have been absolute busts, too, after they signed the big contracts, guaranteed, no trade, no everything. Then they can't produce.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Some have produced pretty well, but nobody's worth that. What about the designated hitter rule?
I don't like it at all.
Yeah. You wouldn't as a good hitting pitcher, among other things.
How can you pitch and be a halfway decent hitter and explain they're going to hit... And I'm going to hold that guy and shut him out as long as I possibly can. Like I pitched the ball game in Philadelphia against Lefty Groves. It was 102 all night long.
Oh, no.
And the next day it was 102 out there. And I says, "Well, I'll stay with Groves as long as he can shut us out. I'm going to give everything I got to shut him out and get him out of there for a pinch hitter somewhere or another."
Yeah.
And the seventh inning, we got him out for a pinch hitter. I bunted and sent a guy to third base, and then we scored the run and had him 1-0. They sent a pinch hitter in.
Yeah.
We got four or five more runs right after that, and they finally had to send Howard Emke up to pinch hit it against me in the ninth inning.
Is that right?
I managed to finish it out, and I was really down the ninth inning in that 102 weather.
You should.
I don't know how I took it, because when they had to send Howard Emke up to pitch it against me, why, I was tickled enough to see that.
Yeah, that was a welcome sight.
But if a designated hitter... Why,
Grove would have stayed in. That's right. Yeah.
Grove would have stayed in. I wouldn't have been able to pitch that way to try and get him out of there.
All right. Now, do you think that most of the players in your day were in the game not for whatever money was available then, but basically because they loved to play baseball?
Well, that was one reason they loved to play baseball.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't big money in it. The way they told me, after I was in it for four or five years that for Lansing, before you could make $7,500, you had to be a star.
Yeah.
Of course, back in those days, $50 a week was good money, too.
I was going to say, that $7,500 went a long ways in those days, but...
Yeah, that's right.
Of the Depression and so forth, but even so. Nowadays, do you think there's much loyalty of the ball players to the owner, to the manager, to their teammates?
I don't know. From what you read between the lines and everything,
you'd have to doubt it.
They don't. What's the difference? Is their feeling?
Yeah,
I think.
That's right. And sort of, what's in it for me?
What's in it for me is right.
Yeah. Yet, despite all of that, and some people like your friend that won't go out to see those millionaires play, baseball still keeps drawing them in, and in ever-increasing numbers, in fact.
Yeah, as long as they're up there fighting for the pennant.
Yeah, especially that. But that's remarkable, George, when you think that in your time, the professional football didn't draw big crowds. There wasn't that much of it.
No, that's right.
And there was
right.
No professional basketball. And
no.
A lot of other sports hadn't gotten to be big time, like hockey and golf and tennis. And they now have millions of people following them to, in a sense, draw people away from baseball, but baseball still gets bigger and bigger numbers.
That's right. A little story I can tell you, Jimmy O'Donnell, that managed that Bailey Company team, he was the head detective for the Bailey Company, in the store.
Yep.
And he managed the baseball team. He was a nut on sports.
Mm-hmm.
And he started professional football here in town.
Hmm.
He got Jim Thorpe to play for him,
yeah.
And hired quite a few of the college boys and everything. And me having been with Jimmy and played for him in semi-pro,
yeah.
Why, we become very good friends, and he told me, he says, George, you mark my words, this is going to become a big thing someday.
He had some foresight.
And his forecast was really right.
Sure was.
He says, it's going to really
sure
be
was.
Big someday.
Yep.
And
yeah.
it turned out exactly the way he said.
Yeah. There weren't too many that could foresee that in those days.
And when they went over to New York and played in New York the one time after he had got Thorpe with him,
mm-hmm.
as they saw the crowd there in New York, it was a fairly good crowd.
Mm-hmm.
they threw a strike on him.
Oh, boy.
And Jimmy didn't have a dime to his name.
No.
He raised a pretty good-sized family and worked just as the house detective run the police force that watched over the store inside, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
For shoplifters and all that. And throw a strike on them when they...
Yeah. Well, your overall memories are happy and positive ones.